everybody, and welcome to the Bachelorette Wrap-Up Show. I'm Amy, here with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how was Canada Day yesterday?
It was great. I'm actually a little distracted right now. I can hear some fireworks going off in the background.
Oh, they're still celebrating? It's a day late that we're recording.
I mean, we live in basically like this hybrid of America and Canada, so it's probably residual Canadian fireworks mixed in with some premature American fireworks.
Oh, so you get like kind of a holiday week all the time?
Yeah, basically we get the duo celebration, so it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Did you do anything exciting for Canada today? I know you love it.
I do love it. Actually, this is my first year celebrating it. There was kind of like a friend of mine had heard about that there was a hashtag Canada Day USA, where if you were organizing a party or some sort of get together, the embassy here would send you a party pack. So he got like all these Canada decorations, flags. I came home with like two collapsible pairs of sunglasses that have flags on them.
Canada.
Yeah, and there's
awesome,
a lot of
what a cool idea.
I know. They just want people to celebrate it here, and so yeah, I met some other Canadians and was at
Canadianophiles.
Yeah. Either Canadians or people who appreciate Canadians, want to be Canadian, that whole thing. You know, a lot of poutine at the table. Like people were ordering like individual plates and then not realizing how much they were gonna get. And,
yeah, I also had poutine last night, and I was feeling the effects of it this morning. I had like I didn't have a regular hangover like most Canadians. I had a poutine hangover, right. And those are not fun.
I also learned about, is it white vinegar like poured over fries? Because I had like two Canadians.
Do you guys not have that?
I've never heard of that before.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, you just put vinegar. Like my dad, I don't like it, but my dad does.
Okay. Yeah, it sounded kind of good, but no, you know, they were like asking for it to dip on to get it. And they were saying like how like places that you couldn't get, they would get malt vinegar and that was the wrong kind of vinegar and that restaurants didn't understand here what they were looking for. So yeah, learn something new every day.
My gosh, I did not even know that was a thing. Like that's crazy.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, speaking of crazy, this episode, I feel like a lot of, you know, changing opinions that I've been noticing on Twitter about Nick. You know, is he crazy? He was kind of the talk of
this episode. I'm still pretty solid in my opinions, but I'm sure we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll have to get to that. That was kind of the
Also, can we take 1 second out of our podcast to talk about how I called the final four in like week two? I like nailed that.
Oh, yeah. You knew that Chris was going to get hometowns.
Yeah,
right
I did.
Away. Yeah.
And I promise you guys, I am spoiler free since 93.
No, we do not do spoilers. I have to admit that this week, and I won't say anything, I won't give you any of the information, but I feel like I unintentionally spoiled myself on like the final Bachelor Pad member based on just looking looking at Twitter patterns. Like, you know, right? That discussion that Rob's kind of had with different guests about social media can kind of ruin some things for you. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, this one, looking at who he's following, you know, and looking at this gap in time. I'm like, you know, and then thinking
Bachelor in Paradise, finished filming this week, I think. Back.
Yeah. So I'm like, this person is showing up on Twitter that wasn't there really before. And then now thinking back how Cody and Markel didn't have Twitter accounts. I don't know if they do now, but, you know, they're announced anyway. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. Oh, those ones weren't tweeting throughout the season.
I guess I'll just have to continue to avoid Bachelor contestants who don't follow me on Twitter.
Exactly. JJ is safe. So, yeah, I'll leave it up to the audience if they want to figure it out for themselves or not. But I think I figured it out. But that won't affect any of my opinions. Yeah. I'm still going to – could be wrong. So, okay, what struck me in the very first part – they're in Belgium this episode, and I – feel like I was assaulted by Chris's scarf. The scarves do not end.
All the scarves. It's like they multiplied. Yeah. Like in France, like one of them has a scarf, and then the next week a few of them, and now like it's just like one big old scarf party. Like, was it in the hotel gift bag, or
that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, was it some kind of inside joke of the guys? Like, okay, you guys have to wear it this time, or or just like,
or they're trying to have like a douche off, who can be the douchiest guy on there,
right? Who wants to look
congrats
like
guys, you all win.
Yeah, most like pseudo European look they can come across. Yeah, so it was like half guys in scarves, half guys in hoodies, you know, getting the one-on-one, the first date card delivered from Chris, and he's kind of giving them a speech about, well, you guys have to decide too about if you want to go in the hometowns. I mean, has any guy turned down like these hometowns?
It's just I'm not sure. My bachelorette history is not super great.
I don't think so. I think like certain people's families have bailed. Like, we don't want to be on TV, you crazy people. But
oh, really?
Yeah, that happened on Jason's season, where Melissa, the one he ended up choosing and then dumping, her mm-hmm. parents were like, did not want any part of it. She just kind of had this emotional hometown where like, sorry, there's nobody here. You'll meet some of my friends, I guess.
Interesting. I guess that worked out well.
Sort of. Until he dumped her. Yeah. But Marcus gets the one-on-one. There's kind of talk about, well, it's Nick kind of throughout the episode sort of commentating about, well, these guys are just wasting their time. I don't like seeing her go off with Marcus, but oh well, you know, she'll end up with me. So that kind of starts. What did you think about Nick's comments, this sort of theme starting? And
okay, this is interesting because I feel like I have a very different feeling about it than I did when Courtney was doing a very similar thing on Ben's season.
Yeah, that's true. She did.
Slight aside, I mm-hmm. purchased her book on my Kindle. Mm-hmm. And I'm going on a road trip next week, so hopefully I can just like knock it out and let you guys know what happens in the book.
Oh,
I'm
nice. Yeah, somebody tweeted us that it was a good read. So like, some people must be a very fast read.
Yeah, I doubt someone sense. Who's on The Bachelor has like a really, really in depth. Piece of literature out there.
Right.
But anyway, so I remember watching Courtney season, and maybe that's just a difference in my reality TV viewing point of view, I guess, now.
Uh-huh.
I'm much more, what's the word? Like, not perceptive, but like
discerning or.
Yeah, and more skeptical, I guess, mm-hmm. or can. Kind of, I'm not sure. Anyway,
right.
So when I was watching Courtney, I was always like enraged by her confessionals,
mm-hmm.
where they're very similar to Nick's. And with Nick's, I'm like, oh, that's fine.
Is yeah, it, like, that's a good point.
Is it some like underlying misogyny, or is it just
well, Courtney was hard to like. I mean, her tone and just the way she did it. She was a little more gloat. Like, no, he's right. pretty gloaty too, but.
But I guess he's more –
he's lovable in other – yeah, it. And he's, like, kind of lovable in these other – when he's with Andy, like, you just sort of – I don't know. That's a good question. Like, it would be interesting to kind of put those side by side.
Because I feel like they're – like, it's a very similar situation.
Yeah.
Like, he's just no not, one
– yeah. This front runner kind of edit and, like, yeah. where they are like, oh, these other people, you know, they can have their fun, but, you know – he's ending up with me or she's ending up with me.
Yeah.
I guess he's not going and as maybe, far as being like winning or.
Yeah. Or rose. Like, and it seems more about being with Andy rather than like winning a prize. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, it's actually interesting you say that because the guys are all perceiving Nick as saying only talking about game and kind of winning and strategy and not talking about the relationship. But when he's with her, that's all, you know, we don't get that perception. He's not talking about the game or, but it's interesting that then right. Courtney in her confessionals was kind of more, yeah, we got that sense that it was, I got to win.
And obviously there's like hours and hours and hours and hours of confessionals from both of them that we haven't seen. Mm-hmm. Like we only know what the editors want us to know.
Right. Right. And they can kind of get them to say certain things. They can get the sound bites that they want.
Yeah. So, kind of... I mean, it's hard to say, but like, I'm still fine with Nick. I don't have an issue with him. I don't think he's as villainous as they're trying to make us believe.
I noticed the music behind every time he was talking to kind of this ominous music. Like, we are supposed to kind of change our opinion, but it just seems, yeah, right, I agree. Yeah. He seemed a little forced. I mean, well, we'll talk about more of the things he did later, but Marcus's one-on-one, I'm struggling to kind of remember much of what happened.
I'm glad I'm not alone because I'm like sitting here like, okay, what did they do?
Yeah, it was one of those like exploring.
Like
the town.
Obviously it was not that exciting or important.
No. Yeah. No, it was, but I guess it's good because she made him do all these kind of the rappelling and the strip solo before. So maybe it's good for them to just kind of chill, but
have a normal people date.
Yeah. Have some muscles. He talked about how he was journaling and then she kind of was teasing him or just being a little skeptical about, oh, but you're going to leave. Yeah. Yeah. Journal. But he has said that, well, I wasn't just going to leave because I didn't want to be around here. It was because I was afraid of my feelings. So I think that worked on her.
He's like, he's so in this. Like, he's mm-hmm. he's kind of getting like a, you know how you said like he was kind of like Drew-ish at the beginning of the season?
Yeah.
I feel like he's getting more Drew-ish.
Okay. Yeah.
Because he's like, you know how Drew was like so all in?
Yeah. All in, but just was a little kind of static or I don't just like hard
to. Bland.
Yeah. Bland. Hard to really feel the emotion between them. She kind of was one thing I have in my notes is that like the way she would describe him, it's kind of more like third person, like an outsider, like, oh, he's going to be an amazing father and husband. He has all the qualities I would look for. And when you mm-hmm. compare that with how she describes other guys, you know, it's like kind of like she admires him. She thinks he's sweet. She likes that he said he was falling in love, but she doesn't have that passion when she talks about him. And it's she's a little more removed, like I think she's a little careful in how she's talking about him.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I kind of picked up on that. I don't get the fireworks from them. Not to
no, definitely
know, be
not
cliche on the 4th of July week, but Canada Day week, but not getting that. And then he talked a little bit about his family, that his dad isn't in the picture and that he kind of had a dysfunctional relationship with his mom growing up. So he kind of did that. He had that.
I'm glad he waited to like date like 5.
That is true.
Before jumping in the hardcore family
that
stuff.
That is true. He didn't do
it
right
away. I'm so bad like watching these shows. I'm like, oh, you have too many feelings for me. Like I'm like, I mean, it's clear why I'm single because I don't ever want guys to emote and it makes me uncomfy when they do. And that's also misogynistic. I know, guys. Leave me alone. I see it.
That's funny.
But yeah, so I'm glad he at least waited a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Until they're, you know, a couple dates in before getting real heavy.
Right. Right. And I can't remember her really saying anything about, oh, I'm really glad he opened up about this to me or anything. It was just kind of, yeah, this date was all kind of bland. I didn't really get a lot of connection from them. And I don't know, like I feel
except
like maybe
when they connected their faces together.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit. But they didn't do it, you know. I have the draft results and they didn't do it as much as a couple of these other guys, so I don't know.
Whatever, I got the 2 one-on-one dates this week. I'm probably racking
you did.
Up
you did. Yeah, well, speaking of racking up points, do you think did Nick, the next kind of thing we see is Nick sneaking off or talking about I will do anything. Marcus comes back from the one-on-one date and that's when Nick seizes his opportunity to
again a very parallel with Courtney Robertson
that yeah she did sneak
that's exactly
off
what happened
her hotel room.
Ben came home from a date with someone else and then they went into what was it the Gulf of Mexico I think yeah. together
skinny dipped and then some
yeah skinny dipped.
You'll get the full scoop in the book, I'm sure. Actually, I've heard mm-hmm. read some teasers about it. Yeah, so, and it's interesting because the guys are saying how Nick has seen every season. Do you think he just took that page right out of Courtney's playbook?
Okay, that was more of like a detractor than like his attitude.
Yeah, yeah, that was the drawback. We'll talk about that a little bit
I was
later.
Like,
but
ew.
He's seen every season. Well, maybe he'll guest with us next year.
But I feel like he cleared it up. I can't remember if it was on the show or like something I've read mm-hmm. saying that like Before he went on the show, he like watched like a bunch of seasons just to know what he was getting himself into. And I feel like he's a very like analytical person and would do something like that.
Right. Or he could be just smart to know that's what he should say and not admit that he's an obsessed fan. Like, what if he could have been like one of those fans that appeared on Bachelor Pad? What if he was just like a level, the same level as them, where they're just like, oh, we're one of the obsessed Bachelor fans. But he goes to the lobby. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think of this move? He goes to the lobby. He goes to the front desk, says, oh, I forgot my room key. And she's like, what's your room number? Oh, I forgot my room number, but it's under my wife's name. And then he gives Andy's first and last name. And then the hotel clerk gives him the key and tells him the room number. And he goes and knocks on her door.
Okay, I don't know if our listeners know this about me, but I actually, my degree is in tourism development and hospitality management. So I spend a lot of time around people who work in hotels. Mm-hmm. And I very highly doubt it would be that easy to get a key like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you could see by the look on his face that like, it was like the Chris a scene in the premiere where it was just like, you know,
that kind of sheepish look
that it's a little staged.
Uh-huh.
Like, I feel like if he really wanted to, he could just like go knock on the door.
Right.
Like, just kind of like look where the cameras are.
Yeah, true. Wander through the halls. Yeah. I think he cleared it.
Like, it wouldn't be that easy, and the hotel wouldn't do that. Like, especially since they know that like she's like the star of the show.
Yeah.
Like, they would have a little bit more security going around.
Right. Yeah, I think maybe. Or if it's just this clerk and she knows it's a show and that they're, obviously they know that they're filming there, maybe she was like, okay, this must be approved if all these people I've seen around all the time are doing this, and that maybe, you know, if it wasn't totally set up, then there was some kind of, like, not like they're doing that for anyone running that strategy to try to stalk somebody.
I buy that Nick, you know, had the idea to go see her.
Yeah.
Because he's been doing that all season. But I just don't buy the setup of it.
Right. He's been doing the getting the flowers and that kind of thing too. So did this win points for you?
Yeah, exactly.
Then he did this move? Did you like it? Did you think that was...
Pardon?
Oh, did you like this move? Did it...
Did I like the move?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked the move.
Yeah.
I thought it was good, and I think it's one of those things where it's like it's showing her that she's like, she's why he's there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was a little calculated, but it worked. It worked on her.
Yeah, and all they did was go for a walk, and I think it's just kind of more romantic that way, that they just kind of... She just changed out of like that gown she was wearing. It was a more real kind of thing to do. Like, hey, I want to get out of here. Let's just go walk around, and then lean against a tree and make out for a while.
I thought it was cute. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that part was cute. But yeah.
Yeah, and it didn't seem like he wasn't worried. Like, he knew he was moving on, but he also knew, I think at that point, yeah, he knew he mm-hmm. wasn't getting the other one-on-one. And so it was like, I think he did just want that more time. I mean, maybe a little bit more airtime, but it didn't seem like it. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, they had a cute conversation.
And he hates group dates, and he's so uncomfortable with it that he just kind of went for it.
Yeah. And she was all about it. She was like, when he kisses me, I can feel what he is thinking, the mental, physical, emotional connection. She was just like, it's so hot. So... that's a lot different than what she was mm-hmm. saying after Marcus's like elaborate date, or not elaborate date, but one-on-one date. What were you gonna say?
And you can just feel it with them that like they're, it's like it takes no effort with them. Where with like Marcus, like it takes so much effort for her to like have a conversation with them, and mm-hmm. like I feel like the connection there is mostly just physical, and with Josh, it's just like purely physical.
Mm-hmm.
Where with Nick, it's just kind of more well-rounded.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Marcus, actually, he said, I'm in love with you on the date, but it was just so, like, yeah, I'm in love with you. Like, he just said it, like, so straight.
He said it. He said it since, like, week two.
Yeah. And just, it doesn't have any emotion behind it. And she's just kind of
smiles. But he's been all in for a long time now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So after this, Josh has his one-on-one with Let's Gent It On. Kept saying that.
Was that. Big fan of that pun. Were you? I love all geography-related puns, so.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit of a stretch for me, but I do appreciate it. There's been a lot of those with the World Cup going on, I feel like. I'm trying to think of what, I don't remember what they were, but.
I've really been avoiding that. Everything to do with the World Cup. So.
Yeah. I need to figure out how to mute a hashtag. I'm really not that good at Twitter, but I would have muted all the World Cup ones because it's been a lot harder to find the Bachelor tweets with all this going on. But so they have kind of a random goose parade on their date.
Yeah, that was weird. I cannot deal with all these birds on the dates and how everyone's not just freaking out. Okay, so we had Josh get pooped on by a seagull. We had a pigeon land on Nick's head.
Yeah.
And now we have this goose parade. Like, get the birds away from it.
That's funny. I thought the goose parade was cute because they were contained. They were, I don't know, they were like Belgian geese. They were a little different than the Canada geese.
Yeah, I guess I'm just so used to the Canadian variety of, mm-hmm. and like Canadian geese are the only thing with the Canadian moniker that is slightly angry. Mm. And those things are vicious.
They are. Yeah, we have them.
Don't ever put your fingers near them.
Yeah. Yeah, they hiss when I walk my dog, when they have the goslings, they're like, they'll hiss at us. And yeah.
Yeah, and they have like these crazy little teeth. Oh, it's disgusting. Anyway. So there's, moral of the story, there's too many birds on The Bachelorette for me.
Yeah, who knows? There could even be more. But I think JJ tweeted something like, when Josh hugs you, like 1,000 white doves are released or something like that. So I don't know. Bird theme. But Andy was saying that she thought Josh had a personality that every girl's attracted to. Outgoing, funny, lively. And
wrong.
Yeah.
Nope.
You're not liking his personality. I don't think that's what comes across.
No.
Yeah.
I think he's fine. He gets a little on my nerves.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no. I mean, I think my main issue with him is that his eyebrows are nicer than mine.
Totally. Not that you don't have nice eyebrows, but his are just too...
Thank you.
They're just
not... They're very stylized.
Yeah.
And if that's something you're into, then that's something you're into.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think she probably is saying that because to her, that's what she's really attracted to. And so she's kind of been really wary of him from the beginning and is maybe thinking, oh, every girl must like him, you know, and he's an athlete and thinking this is the personality everybody likes, because that's kind of, I guess, how you describe her personality too. Likes. Yeah, and that's what she likes. And so she's wants to get more out of him. She said he probably has fun on every date, but I want to know that he feels deeper things about me. So then they have the talk.
I'm sure she wants to feel deeper things.
Yeah. She says, let's see, what did they do on this date besides the goose parade? They had dinner in like a, I feel like both places they had dinner in some kind of fancy place with Marcus and with him.
She said they ate a lot on this date.
Yeah. And on Marcus's too. She was like, I'm glad you're a good eater.
Yeah.
So that's good that they're eating the food this time. And, oh, I know, they talked about how he was telling her it's not too good to be true and kind of talking about how, well, they're both from Atlanta, and he was kind of calling her out on thinking, like, well, we're both from Atlanta, this seems too good to be true. And
okay, Atlanta's a pretty big city.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, there's chances you can find love in Atlanta. Like, that's not really that unique.
Right.
Hotlanta, even.
Yeah. But I guess out of the 25, like the fact that if she would choose the one from Atlanta, then maybe she's like, I don't know. Didn't you tweet something about like, oh, I don't want to run into you if I break up with you. Like, that'll be awkward.
Yeah.
But he does say he's falling in love. They talk about family. And then when he says he's falling in love, she says that she feels comforted by that. And I don't know. I thought that was kind of an interesting reaction.
Maybe just because he has like big strong arms and like he can just like wrap her up and like that's cool.
Uh-huh.
I can understand why she would say everyone's into that because yeah. that I can understand.
Uh-huh.
But I just it just feels really superficial with Josh.
Yeah, I agree. It's like she said he was kind of behind the other guys and sharing the feelings. She was like, well, Marcus said he's in love with me. Nick said pretty much that he's fallen in love with me. Basically, he's in love with me. And so I guess she just – my thought was that she knew that she wanted to keep Josh around. She knew she wanted to go to the hometowns, and she, like, needed to get that soundbite out of him because it would look bad to, like, these other guys who are saying it, and she's letting them go. You know, we had a lot of love mm-hmm. on this, a lot of dropping the L bomb on this episode, so.
And she was loving it.
Yeah, she was. Like, racking although, that up.
Like, who doesn't love, like, who doesn't enjoy people saying that they love them?
Yeah, but I feel like it would be awkward with, like, five different guys when you know, especially when you know
yes.
you're saying goodbye to this one. Not that I would know. I've never had, like, more than one person yeah. say that at a time.
Not that we've ever, you know, been.
On a
been in a situation
like
where we had to pick between five different guys who yeah. are all in love with us.
Right, with elaborate dates every other night. Yeah, no. But, yeah, I don't really envy that. Like, I feel like you said, like, being uncomfortable.
I envy the free vacations.
Yeah, the free vacations, definitely. But having to, like, I don't know, like, take guys saying that and
have,
then she can't say anything
have
back.
Have feelings.
Yeah.
I'm just not into
so,
that.
Yeah, big mess. So, oh, I know that your favorite part of this date, though, was the private concert.
Oh, my God.
I feel like but this was the second one that she and Josh had. I mean, at this point,
there's like been like 4,000 private concerts,
yeah.
and I cannot deal with it anymore.
I'm starting to
think
one of these
you
producers,
need to stop this.
Like, they must, one of these producers must have a record label, because at this point, it's like, I've never heard of any of these people, and it's on every episode. There's some kind of group playing. So.
Or one of them must follow me on Twitter and be like, this bitch, she hates these, so why don't we just keep having them? Because
yeah.
I know she'll keep watching regardless. And it's just funny to me that
yeah.
this girl hates it so
personal
much.
Torture.
I just have a lot of feelings, okay?
But at least, well, Josh delayed it a little bit by, like, pulling her into that doorway. It's like, and he got you a lot more points by making out in the doorway, so. And then,
what? Well, she also said, like, I have another surprise for you. And it was, like,
yeah.
making out in the, like, alleyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this is kind of a sucky surprise.
Right?
I mean, it's a better surprise than, like honking the train horn.
Yep.
I know that's not, like, the proper terminology, but
right.
it's
yeah.
still better than honking the train horn.
Yeah. Okay, the next group date. Says true love is sacred on the date card because they're going to a monastery. What do you think of that?
That's my kind of romantic getaway.
Right. A monastery. Well, at first they walk around some ruins, then they go on some bike thing. So it's on this group date. It's the four remaining guys, Chris, Nick, Dylan, and Brian. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, and the monastery has special rules that when you're inside the walls, no kissing. So I was sort of thinking, like, was this partially, like, I don't know, was she relieved that, like, she had that rule because, like, two of the guys on this group date she was going to send home and she didn't kiss on this episode? Like, oh, I don't have to, like, awkwardly, like,
make
out
with
these
guys.
Did
Dylan ever kiss?
I don't think, did she kiss Brian either? Because if she did,
she kissed Brian, like, a bunch of times.
She did.
But I don't think I could be wrong. Please correct me if I am.
Correct us because
I don't think she kissed.
I didn't.
I don't think she kissed Dylan.
Okay, I don't think she kissed either. But and if
she definitely kissed Brian because they kissed. They went back to the half. Like they went back to the basketball court and they kissed, and then they made out in the movie theater, and then they made out
kissed in,
that random.
No,
kitchen.
I was just talking about this episode. Yeah, she definitely. Kissed
oh,
Brian,
I see.
Yeah, I was just saying on this episode that she didn't have to kiss them like the night.
Oh,
went. But yeah, did she ever kiss Dylan? That's a good
question. I think she did kiss Brian this episode.
Really?
I think it was like
people will have to tweet me and we'll have to revise
yeah.
Rob's score. But I don't know if she ever kissed Dylan. I don't think so. That's not a good sign, Dylan.
I really don't think so.
Because they didn't kiss.
Yeah, he should have seen this coming.
Yeah, they didn't kiss when he was pulling the train.
Also,
horn.
Big fan of Dylan's half ponytail that he was rocking this episode.
Yeah, I kind of like Dylan this episode. I mean, he's always like kind of, you know, you have like, I don't know.
Bland.
I felt, yeah,
he's
bland.
So monotone.
He is, but he just kind of seems sweet. Like, I kind of like find that he's like lovable in a way, but like, kind of like maybe more like a puppy dog. Like, oh, like feel kind of bad. Like, because
yeah, I guess so.
He makes these comments where he's like, yeah, well, we've all only got one-on-one, and it might not mean anything. And then Brian's like, yeah, it does mean something. At the cocktail party, he was like, well, do you think, like, our conversations with her could maybe change her mind? It's like, no, sorry, hon. You know?
No.
Oh, sweetie. But he did look good with the ponytail, I think. And we got a question from...
I kind of liked it. Ugh.
Yeah. Oh.
I feel like my tastes as I grow older are changing.
You like the long hair? But maybe, or was it just that he didn't have the gel and he didn't have the douche hair going on and he had it off his face?
Ooh, good point. Because later on in the episode, he like had it super gelled and it was gross.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe it's just
so
like,
Dylan,
oh,
stick
different.
To the half pony.
Yeah. And I
that
like,
look was working for you.
I like the pink chinos that he had too. I feel like that was his like kind of Cape Cod-y kind of look. He's the East Coast guy. I thought it looked good with his hoodie.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I felt bad for him.
Oh, like those that. East Coast guys get you every time, eh?
Let's see what else about this group date. It was kind of all the Nick show again. It was,
isn't it always?
the front runner. Yeah, so it was kind of like, and what did, I think Josh later in, like when they came back, was referring to it as a 3-on-1, which they've never had, and they didn't actually refer to it as a 3-on-1 date, but it was a 3-on-1 date in a way, like, or 3 versus 1, where like it was like three guys against Nick, and that was kind of the theme throughout this episode, where they're like, well, because Nick was sort of saying that he was going to get that date, the rose, and he was sure about it, it was really important, and then he was going to hometowns, and then the other guys were getting mad that he was so confident about it. And then Nick was right that Andy gave him the rose that allowed him to kind of continue on the date. And it wasn't exactly
a group date anymore. Like, I feel like it's just like a little bit of jealousy with the guys, or a lot of jealousy. Because like they knew Nick was going on on a hometown. Like, they knew it. There's no way they didn't see it.
He already had two one-on-ones, and... Yeah, they have to know. They kind of, towards the end, they admitted it was like, okay, it's between Chris, Brian, and Dylan. It's between the three of us. But they were just sort of, I think, all kind of bummed out because they felt like we're the good ones. We're the good guys. And, I mean, Nick, this episode, like, was called, like, a douchebag, a snake, a salesman, like, all sorts of things. So.
And this was about the time that my dad came downstairs and started watching this with me.
Uh-huh.
And he had some interesting opinions just based on, like, the last hour.
Okay.
Like, my brother came in, like, as a joke, was like, oh, which guy do you think is going to win? And my dad was like, Nick. And I was like, Dad, how do you even know these guys' names? But then later, pardon?
Yeah, even knowing the name, probably because they were all saying.
Yeah,
Nick,
I was
Nick,
like,
Nick.
How do you know this, Greg? Like, what is your scoop? And then, like, later on in the episode, he was like, that guy and that guy's going home. And he pointed to, like, Dylan and Brian. And I was like, you're a smart dad. Like, you know what's going on.
Yeah. And we definitely pegged those guys as, like, they're not getting, like,
they're going to get mid-range.
Yeah, like, they just, and you even would, like, kind of confuse the two names sometimes. So they were kind of always in that same boat. Yeah. So that's funny.
I still do.
So I think we got to see a little bit of Chris's edge, I guess. Like, I was pretty sure that
dropping F-bombs everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I meant, like, the edge with Andy, but that's true. Like, when he gets mad, like, then you see, like, oh, he actually has a little bit of personality there. And it comes out, he actually can say more than one syllable at a time. But also, I was pretty sure that Chris was going to be the one that she would pick too at the end when it was down to those three.
Samesies.
Because they showed, you picked him as hometown early. But he did the whole ghost reenactment on the pottery wheel while they were at the monastery.
Oh my gosh.
So
the show is like trying to like give me acid reflux issues because I wanted to throw up the entire time.
Yeah, that was really, really forced. And I don't know. But that got him, I guess. So we got a question, I think, from Meg Wants to Know, where she asked, like, how were they able to kiss? And when I was watching it, I was like, yeah, why is he, like, sneaking a kiss there? They're at the monastery.
They were outside of the monastery.
They're outside the walls. Like, when I rewatched that part, and she did say that. So for anyone else that was wondering.
No, she's just breaking rules.
Breaking rules. Like, it would be funny, though, if she just made up that rule for, like, oh, I don't want to really kiss any of these people. But then she had Nick. They had their little one-on-one time. And
they had their, like, moment where they just, like, stared into each other's eyes.
Yeah. Surprised they didn't start doing, like, Eskimo kisses or butterfly kisses or something with their eyelashes.
Okay, I definitely would have thrown up if that
happened. Me too. And then I was just kind of, like, I tweeted that, like, who knew that Milwaukee would have been the drinking game this episode? Because she said Milwaukee, like, 500 times. Like, going to Milwaukee.
Like, girl, you know Milwaukee. Like, okay, I had the same question for Andy as I do for Jason Kidd. And it's like, you do know Milwaukee's in Milwaukee, right? Like, in Wisconsin. Like, hey. You know that's where that is. Like, right?
I do have to defend Milwaukee.
And I guess you've frequented Milwaukee more than I have.
Yes.
So maybe it's like an actual gem.
You kind of have to know it to love it. Yeah. It's, I mean, if you remember, that's where Bridesmaids was set, but they would kind of joke, like, the joke was that, like, oh, like, she lives in Milwaukee, not Chicago. And, you know, why would she live there? But once I've been there, and there's definitely lovable things about it. And Nick's from there. So let's see. Andrea from Survivor and, Aaron from Token Jeans. So, you know, there's other people that love it too. But yeah, it's not like the most, like, exciting after you've been to all these destinations, like, to be that excited about, like, Milwaukee. That kind of showed me that, like, she's excited.
Okay, what are the
about
four
Nick.
Destinations? So Milwaukee, random town on Iowa, Atlanta, and Dallas?
Yeah, but he's Canadian, but yeah, where is he now, Marcus?
Marcus, stop lying. We know you're Canadian.
Yeah. I didn't even pay attention to where he was saying it would be. I guess it is maybe Dallas.
I think it's in Dallas. According to his last few Instagram photos, he's hanging out in Dallas these days.
Okay. It just kind of showed to me, like, it just how they were sort of they seem like a real couple, because it's like, okay, if you were just dating someone and we're going to go to some random city in the Midwest or whatever, you'd be excited about it because it's them, you know, and you'd be like, going to Milwaukee together. And you could tell, like, that they had talked about it a lot before or something, because I don't really remember, like, any other bachelorette being like, oh, we're going to Topeka or whatever, you know. It's just sort of
ding, marry, kill, Milwaukee, Atlanta, and random town in Iowa.
Okay. All right. Ding Atlanta, because, like you said, hot Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Marry Milwaukee, reliable Midwestern, and kill random city of 748 people in Iowa.
Okay, that was the right answer.
Yeah. Good question. I thought because Andy was sort of at the cocktail party, I guess we're kind of jumping around, but she was sort of asking those straggler guys, the ones who, like, the three guys who were kind of left in the running, that, like, okay, where would we go? Why would you pick? I mean, I guess she has to have more of a connection with Chris then, because it's like, why would you pick Iowa when you could go to Boston?
I feel, who did she ask? I feel like maybe it was Chris. She was like, so, like, where are we going next week?
Yeah.
And it was just like, do you not know where he's from?
Yeah, that's true. That must be a producer planned thing. Like, okay, if you don't know what else to talk about, or let's talk about what we'll find in the hometowns, what can I look forward to or something. But he really didn't sell it. And then, the preview at the end, too, like, made it look like even more like, oh, she's not going to have a fun time in Iowa.
Well, it's Iowa. What can you expect?
Yeah. On a farm where they were like, she was like, this is literally the middle of nowhere. So let's see what else on this. Anything else to say about Nick's one extra one-on-one time, or should we jump to when he comes back to the guys?
I think we should jump right to when he comes back.
All right. It was like, how long? Was it almost a minute? I wanted to, like, count it. Like, He comes back. It was
pretty hilarious.
It was just like dead silence.
And you could tell Nick kept his jacket on in the hotel room because of the frostiness of his fellow contestants. His
scarf, of course.
Oh my god, of course.
Well, before he gets back, tries to
bury himself in the scarf.
Yeah, he walks into the conversation where they're all, so they had to kind of just stop talking. But what were they all saying? Like, he never stops talking strategy. They're kind of bringing, I mean, Josh is sort of, Josh and Marcus are sort of commiserating with other guys that just got back from this date where they're like shocked that they were eliminated kind of from the group date. And Josh said something like, oh, he probably knew it was going to be a 3-on-1 because he's seen every episode of every season. And
yeah,
that was funny. And they just kept dropping, like, talking. I thought I was like, am I watching The Bachelor Bachelorette? Because they kept talking about strategy so much and game plan. And even Brian dropped, like, you float, Nick. You're like, he didn't say he was a floater. He didn't say grab a life vest. But I was like, what show am I watching here? Because I was just talking about how Chris was getting into Nick for saying, all you do is talk about strategy. And before Nick arrived, I thought it was interesting that Marcus, he was like, I'll bet you anything, like, he doesn't want, like, if he makes it, he wants to make it a final two, but he doesn't want to be with her, he'll walk. And
what do you think? What do you think, Amy?
I've never got that sense from him. I just think it's neither interesting that they see that.
And because I feel like in his confessionals, he would have hinted towards that, right?
Yeah. Or we would have seen this talk of him talking strategy with the guys. Like, maybe what they think is strategy is just him not wanting to talk about Andy. Not
knowing how to talk about it.
Yeah. And he's just like, oh, like, you know, maybe to him, that's like a good conversation. Like, oh, like, you'll probably get this 1-on-1, or because he got the 1-on-1, like, and they see that as strategy. Or mm-hmm. Or him just saying, like, oh, whoever gets hometowns, like, that's a big deal or something. Like, he's probably using a lot of show knowledge. Yeah, and,
like,
knowledge.
It can be comfortable to talk about, like, have you ever liked the same guy as, like, one of your friends or anything?
I don't think so, or not for a long time. But
yeah, but, like, if you...
It would be awkward.
I feel like I've been in a position where, like, I've shown interest in the same guy as, like, a friend, and mm-hmm. we're both like, okay, well, this is weird, and we, like, both back off. We're in this situation, like, it's super weird to, like, talk about how you both, like this girl or love this girl,
mm-hmm.
and you want to be with her.
Right.
But, you know, there's these other guys who want to be with there too. And obviously you're going to be more in, like, a Nick, you're going to be more comfortable in your position than, say, like a Dylan or a Brian, who kind of, like, knew that, like, their time was up.
Yeah. And I mean, it makes sense. Like, let's say, like, Dylan is off on a group date and Nick's back with some other guy. He probably would make a comment like, oh, well, Dylan, like, has only had 1-on-1 or if you can just tell who doesn't really have the connection, or if she hasn't, like, kissed them or something, or, you know, making comments like that. And so, and it was just interesting that they were really reacting to, like, it makes us really uncomfortable. You've seen all the seasons. And, like, yeah, well, that's kind of weird. But he did say, actually, when I listened back, he said something like, well, before I came out here, I watched, it was hard to make out, but I thought he said, I watched all of Desiree's season. So I don't think he said he watched every season. And I think they're kind of exaggerating there, but who knows? He could be a closeted super fan. And
yeah.
In which case, hope he's listening.
Hey, Nick.
Hi, Nick.
End up with Andy, hit us up. Yeah.
Be a guest next season.
Well, I wasn't thinking be a guest. I was thinking be my boyfriend. Whatever. You have different priorities, clearly.
No, he is a sweet, smooth talker. Like, he's definitely
and he
my
looks
favorite.
Like Neville Longbottom. Yeah. I feel the need to bring this up often because he 100% looks like him.
Yeah.
Like the adult version.
Yeah. And he was scruffier this episode, so.
Yeah, I was into that.
Yeah. And I don't know. He just seems much more genuine. The things he says about her when he's with her and when he's doing the confessionals, it just makes it really hard
to think that these guys are all...
Yeah, but we had other people telling us that they turned the corner and they're side with the guys and think that, you know, Nick's kind of a creeper. So I don't know. And to me, it's like he does come across as the front runner. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, would it just be kind of like how you brought up Courtney and she ended up winning, but I didn't I didn't think at that time when I was watching it that she would. Like, I was surprised that Ben picked Courtney. But in this case, I'm like, how could she pick anybody else? And is this, why would the show be doing this? Or is it like they're setting him up for a fall, you know? And trying, yeah. I can't tell.
Like, I feel like the to me, the final four was so, like, clear cut, where mm-hmm. I feel like the next few episodes are going to be a little bit more messy.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely think that, like, Chris is done next episode. Like, that's, he's out after hometowns. But, like, the remaining three are kind of a toss-up.
Yeah.
I feel like it could go in any way.
Yeah, it's very weird to me that he's had this front runner edit this whole time. Nick, and then, I don't see Chris. They don't have the passion to make it to Fantasy Suites. Like,
ooh, definitely not.
Yeah. And it doesn't look like their hometown goes well.
Yeah. Yeah. If anyone suggested to me that I should be a homemaker.
Yeah. Like, that was funny. Like, so what options? Well, just the way you phrase it, like, there's the option to be a homemaker, just very matter of fact.
Like, like, I mean, honey, no. I don't
even say that anymore.
I don't have the skills to be a trophy wife.
What else? I'm just trying to think of some other things they said. At the so we go to the cocktail party. And I don't know. It was a lot of, I mean, I guess, like, some of the things Nick said, like, Dylan, Brian, and Chris, they don't matter. I mean, if you listen to the way he said them, it was kind of maybe arrogant, it still seemed like, no, it's just they don't.
Yeah, but yeah, worried about them. I interpret it more as, like, they don't, like, matter in the scheme of things because yeah, it's like, me and Andy, rather than, like, they are garbage. They do not right. matter.
No, and even when the guys were kind of all coming down on him when he came back, I mean, he even said, like, we're good friends, but, you know, this situation. So
yeah,
I mean,
and that's still what's so funny about it. Like, he was kind of, like, dumbfounded by it because he's like, these are my buddies. Like, what is this scoop?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, that was very strange. And Chris especially was not a fan. Like,
Chris has gone downhill for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So we get to their cocktail party, and it's kind of everyone kind of fighting to say that they love her, basically, and convince her to go on, take them to hometowns. And, like, Chris, they kind of all pointed out, Chris, Brian, Dylan, that's kind of down to those three. They knew that it was, like, they were fighting for that last spot. And Brian said, told her he was falling in love with her. Dylan, I don't think he kind of said, like,
okay, Dylan something. And Andy were bros. Like, they were just bros.
Yeah.
Let's be serious.
That's true. Yeah, there really was, yeah, nothing there. But he did say something like, oh, what, like, I don't know. I felt bad. I think it would have been too heartbreaking to like, go to his hometown, you know, that she couldn't do that to him
mm-hmm.
with his story and, I don't know.
Her lack of feelings for him.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, poor Dylan. And Chris does the thing, like, the cornball, like, I have to talk to you about one more thing. And then he, like, takes her aside. It's like, okay, JJ already pulled that move, buddy, last time around.
Team JJ, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, Chris.
Yeah. So, not really a shocker of who she picks. Oh,
like I said, my father called it.
Yeah, if your dad can tell from, like, not being, like, tuning into the show. I thought it was interesting, too, that when Nick pulled her aside and he already had the rose, she kind of said something like, putting a target on your back. I mean, just such, like, I don't know that.
And he's like, I don't give an F. Like,
yeah, yeah. And
I just want to make out with you. And she's like, cool. And makes out with him.
Right. Yeah.
That may or may not have happened. I don't know. We weren't there.
Hey, Nick got me so many points, and I'm very appreciative for that because he had no date. And he's my only draft member remaining for, like, the longest time.
Him, so. And then Rob's down to just Chris, yeah. Right?
Yes.
And I'm killing it with two.
Yeah. Yeah. So Rob dropped off, lost two of his bros.
Damn.
This time. Okay. Let's see. We can go to our questions. Well, actually, we brought up the draft, so, and I always forget about it. So why don't I do that right now? Because, sure. Okay, we have a new leader, Haley.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, you, okay, so last week you were at 53, Rob was at 59. This week, because Marcus had a one-on-one, Josh had a one-on-one, they both got a lot of kisses in, you jumped from 53 to 74.
What?
Yeah.
Suck it, losers.
Yeah. Now Rob and I are just 1 point difference.
Because, are you serious?
Yeah, because I had 43. Nick brought me 17 points. He kissed her like 16 times with his little sneak away move. So I'm at 60. Rob, he got a cup, like one kiss with his Chris, I think. I could have miscounted if Brian kissed on this episode, but either way, people can let me know. But Rob just got 2 points going up to 61. So we're like both in the dust right now.
My word.
It's so funny. Yeah. And let's see, we've got a few questions that came in. Let me see here where they are. This is funny because we already talked about this, but at Reed Johnson said on Twitter, said, also, how awful was Dylan's hair? He looked like a pirate. So
he looked like he also hadn't showered in like 3 days.
Yeah. But we said, except we liked the
ponytail.
Hair.
I liked the ponytail.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the rose ceremony, he looked like he hadn't washed his hair.
Yeah.
Just like he doesn't wash his hands.
Yeah. He should have stuck to the ponytail, but Reed was not a fan. Reed, I like, because he'll send, like, last week he sent a screen grab of pants that looked like Andy wasn't wearing pants, and we forgot to talk about that because there was just so much bad fashion going on in last week's episode. And then he tweeted a picture of like kind of the slit on her gown, like being like way too high this week. So I'm glad he's keeping an eye on that for us. And oh, he also asked, we kind of talked about this too, is Nick a slam dunk to win? Seems like this is the most lopsided editing of a season thus far, and I hate it.
I'm trying to think. Because I feel like we could be proved wrong, but he's the only one that makes sense, really.
I know. Like, will we, like, there has to be something, I don't know, major that happens with one of the other guys, or bad that happens with Nick, I think. But then I agree that, like, why is it so lopsided? And would it just be that they would say, like, well, it was just undeniable and this is a true love story, and they would just spin it that way or something? Because I feel like, yeah, it is really lopsided. But it seems weird to be, like, saying front runner way back when they did and then kind of carrying it through. So if they could be setting him up for a fall, I'm just kind of – I'm torn. But, yeah, I really, like
– I'm all out of faith. Yeah. This is how I feel.
Natalie and Brilia. Yeah, I'm definitely. So we'll find out, I guess. I think the hometowns will be pretty telling. And we'll see. Let's see. Another question about Nick at Gallagher_Shane says, I never liked Nick, but do you think it's ridiculous for the guys to distrust him because he has seen old seasons?
Yeah, that's a lame-o excuse. They're just jealous and they need to get over it.
Yeah, it's.
And that's super easy for me to say in this situation where, like, I'm not competing with four other people for the same person.
Right.
I guess this is, like, armchair bacheloretting.
Yeah. But, I mean, strategy, she's ultimately picking who she likes the most. Like, she's not, like, strategy can only get you so far. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like talking about old seasons is strategy. I mean, this isn't Bachelor Pad. So, it's just, I think they could... They are totally in their rights to make fun of him for seeing every season, but not to distrust him.
Yeah.
And he also asked, do you think it would be interesting if the Bachelorette cast a bisexual man on the show? Love the show. So kind of a out there question, like kind of, but I don't know. I feel like it would be interesting. I don't think they would.
And I feel like they've already had like so many people on the show that there had to be someone.
Yeah, who's they bisexual, probably right? have. They just
and they just didn't say it, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I
don't know. I don't think they would do a lead.
No.
It would be interesting for like Bachelor in Paradise for sure.
Yeah. Then we could see. That would be interesting.
Yeah. But with all this talk of diversity, like the, just pushing them to like have racially diverse casts and they don't do it. So I don't see ABC really doing that, but I do think it would be interesting. Okay. We already covered this question about the no kissing. Steph B at snappy_happy10 on Twitter said, let's see, I lost it. I think I copied the wrong one, but she was asking if you think, oh yeah. I feel so bad for Brian and Dylan. They seem to really care about her. Do you think Nick's tears were real? So he did cry kind of towards the end in one of his confessionals.
Okay, if you knew your friends and family were going to be watching you on this show, would you cry? Like fake cry? Like, I don't think so. I think those are real tears.
Yeah, and was he crying? I couldn't really tell what he was crying about. Was it the feelings for Andy or... Because it wasn't after the guys, although they could splice it wherever they wanted. Like, so maybe it was that he felt bad for the guys, or if it was like happy tears. I didn't really know.
Or maybe he was just like overwhelmed by like, he kind of feels betrayed by his bros, but he also has like such strong feelings for Andy that he's just like super confused.
Yeah. And he did say at one point when he pulled her aside, like, she knew that, like, she said the target on the back comment, so that kind of showed that they had talked about it before too. And which again is just a funny word, like a funny thing to label him as in this type of show. I mean, it's not like the other guys can eliminate him, you know. It's not Survivor. Yeah. So but he said something like, it could be 100 times harder and I'd still want to be here. So yeah, I think he was stressed out. I think I'm still team Nick, so I think they're real. Yeah. And Liza Judd on Facebook asked, said the same thing. I still don't hate Nick. Do you guys? P.S. Did you see the tweet love from Nick S? So the other Nick, JJ and Coach Brian. Very telling.
I knew Nick and JJ were like in love with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see. Do you have the tweet from Brian? Because I didn't see it.
No, I think I saw it. Like, oh no, Brian tweeted basically like hashtag like Team Nick or something.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So when like, and then I think. Nick tweeted something about like when Brian and Dylan left, like that they were like two of the most genuine guys. And then he's been kind of calling The Bachelorette the bubble. And then he like hashtagged like something like life outside the bubble, kind of showing like, okay, once they got out of that situation, they're friends.
Like they were cool.
Yeah.
I feel like Josh is like the leader of like this vigilante gang, and he like everyone just gets wrapped up in it, and then after they realize, they're like, oh my god, like what were we doing?
Yeah,
because like he Josh keeps is the doing one it
they go to, like, because JJ went to him when they wanted to confront Andrew, and but Mark, well, Chris too, though. They were all this episode against
pack mentality.
Yeah So I think they got out of it and realized, you know, it was
that
just
they were
show.
Being absurd.
Yeah. This was kind of a funny one. Angela Marie on Facebook said, Are you guys glad that Brian didn't get a hometown? Not sure where you stand on him, but I'm sure glad that he didn't get the chance to show her where his deadpan serial killer nature came from. So I think she thinks Brian is like what you thought Bradley was.
I also think maybe she's confused, like she pulled Haley and is confusing Brian with Dylan, because I feel like Dylan is much more deadpan serial killer than Brian is.
Hmm. That's possible.
And I would probably make out with Brian. Let's be serious. And yeah. Dylan.
Yeah. They're both, I don't get I get like, I guess, deadpan or like a little more monotone with both of them, but I think they're sweet.
I feel like Brian and Flex. I feel like Dylan does not, though.
Yeah, maybe.
So let us know if you did mean Dylan, or if we just have different opinions on Brian then.
Right, yeah. But, yeah, I don't know if it's just, I guess, I don't know whose hometown I would want to see more than over any of the other guys, though. Like, Brian might have been a fun one. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like he would have been fun.
Yeah. Jeffrey Bamberger says, how many set up cheesy things happen tonight, like the asking for a room number? So what else was set up? Well,
I don't know, maybe the pottery.
Yeah, well, that was definitely cheesy. Yeah,
I'm trying to think what else. I don't know. So much of it just kind of like evaporated from my brain as soon as I watched it.
Yeah. And then the concert and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, too. God.
Muscles in Brussels. Getting them to speak in French.
Maybe Cody should have been there.
Yeah, for sure.
Muscles in Brussels. What up?
Definitely. Okay, I think that's all I have for questions. If you want to share some tweets.
Sure. I have one from the man of the hour, Nicholas Vial. Mm-hmm. At Nicholas.
Is or that Vial? I don't know.
Vial? Whatever. At Nicholas, V-I-A-L-L, Nicholas, 28. Mm-hmm. He said, don't hate the player, hate the lax security measures. # love is mischief. # willing to be sneaky for love. # the bachelorette.
Oh. Yeah, did they kind of say something about that in the episode too? Like, did they say love is mischief or something like that?
I don't know. Just something he's saying now? I kind of black out at weird, cheesy lines.
Yeah. Yeah. We uncovered another survivor who is maybe watching The Bachelorette. At John M. Cochran tweeted, I want to be on The Bachelorette just so I can enthusiastically enter international hotel suites with a bunch of bros.
John Cochran and I have the same reasons for wanting to be on The Bachelor.
Yeah, I would happily enter those international hotel suites with those bros. And
holla.
Would they be in front of you or behind you or beside you?
They'd behind me. I'm lead bro.
Nice. All right, got some more.
I have one from I don't know how to pronounce this. AENEAS 182. Uh-huh. They tweeted at us, said, wowzers, could have cut the tension in that room with a knife.
Yeah.
It was pretty tense.
Yeah.
A couple of the rooms were pretty tense.
Right. I don't remember. I'm trying to think, a show, where they just had, dead silence, where they just let it go like that. No music, I don't think. It was just kind of, you just could, feel it when he got back. This was sent to me by Jessica Frey. She said that it was a celebrity tweet. It was at Andrew Rannells, and I didn't recognize the name, but then when I went to his Twitter, I recognized the face. He is on Girls, The New Normal. And
oh, that guy.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of stuff lately.
Yeah. He tweeted, this is step-by-step instructions on how to be a stalker. # The Bachelorette. I do remember seeing at some point, there are ways that people, can get into hotel rooms or
I don't want to have that conversation. I don't want to give any of our listeners any ideas.
All right, I won't. Just watch Dateline. Hidden camera investigations, they always make you upset.
I have two from June Song.
Oh, yeah. Who's from Belgium.
June Dishes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she lives in Belgium currently. She said, so Andy not only Googled Belgium before she flew out here, but she also read some Lonely Planet reviews.
What? Where she was like, ooh, the hustle and bustle, and there's castles, and modern, too.
Oh. And she also said, I get such cruel intention vibes from Nick S. I think she means Nick V. And she said, yep. Am I the only one? I don't know. I've never seen Cruel Intentions. What does this mean?
Cruel Intentions. It's been a long time since I've seen it. But so I think she's probably comparing him to the Ryan Phillippe character, who is kind of creepy. But yeah, I haven't seen it in such a long time.
Is he a stalker?
I can't remember. Or if he's just...
That's why Ryan Phillippe was always my kill in the all Ryan Ding Mary kill.
Wait, so it's Ryan Reynolds, Ryan Gosling, and Ryan Phillippe?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like I would kill Ryan Reynolds.
Girl.
I don't know. Sorry. Girl. We'll have to have another hash this out later.
Yeah. Tune in for our special episode of All Ding Mary Kill.
Wait, but both of them are, they're Canadian, right? Both
yeah,
the other
girl.
Two. Is that why? Maybe that's why you killed the other Ryan. Yeah. Yeah, but no, I think I saw that tweet and a lot of people were agreeing with her. So I think a lot of it might be that music behind him too. And maybe the scarf, because it was he was
definitely the scarf.
Yeah. He was high society character, if I remember. But oh, it's been so long that I see that I've seen that. So anyway, good reference though from Junsung. Okay, I've got a bunch from JJ, because what he was doing during the episode, because I did get to watch it live. It's been a couple of weeks that I haven't, so it was fun. He's West Coast, but he was tweeting during the East Coast viewing and just kind of making stuff up or kind of like reacting to what other people said. And then he had some other, so like when the band came up, he tweeted, "I think I saw this band playing at Canal Street Station last time I was in NYC. And he wasn't even watching it. So that was funny. And then what am I most excited about for the next season of The Bachelor? The next batch of suave hair commercials starring at Dylan Pettit. So that's Dylan Pettit, which he would be much better than who they had Jen Sheft this week, who was like way back when. Like she was season three, Andrew Firestone's season. I think that was three. Yeah. And then she was like maybe the second bachelorette. I don't know. Way back when. But anyway, it was another painfully bad acting.
Awkward commercial.
Yeah. Oh, he talks about Josh's brows. It would be so cute if Andy and Josh ended up together and could share brow waxing appointments.
And yeah, the two of them and Charlene could have a brow business. Oh, I would nice. Go.
Yeah, go in Atlanta. I thought we didn't talk about how they had fireworks actually on Nick's date. I wanted to ask you if you do you like fireworks better than private concerts?
Of course. Who doesn't like pyrotechnics better than private concerts?
Yeah. I think that was something original. Like they don't do fireworks every
week. I'm into fireworks. I was in Cincinnati last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to a couple baseball games, and after the one baseball game they had like a really awesome fireworks display, and like I'm into fireworks.
I like them at baseball stadiums because you're already there. You've already figured out the whole parking situation.
That's
You're not waiting around for an hour on a picnic blanket, batting off mosquitoes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I thought that was nice. But so JJ tweeted, "When fireworks in the bedroom are taken away for 7 weeks, it's amazing how fireworks outside the bedroom will elicit the same emotions." I think he said he was on a roll. So he said, "I think Andy should have just pinned the rose to Nick's middle finger so he could show it off in style to the rest of the guys."
That
would have been good. And then I guess I didn't see Sean Lowe's. I don't know. I didn't grab any of Sean Lowe's tweets this week, but he said, "Funny that at Sean Lowe 09 is bashing at Vile Nicholas 28. Wasn't he the crazed fool who ran around Croatia screaming Emily Maynard's name?" So that was good. That was a good.
So I guess JJ and Nick had like viewing parties of The Bachelorette.
Yeah, he's backing up his bro. So that's a cute bromance, I think.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Yeah,
they can make pants together and.
Yeah. Do you have any more tweets?
I do. I have a couple more. I have one from at Kelly Travesty. Mm-hmm. She said, "I've never seen anyone so happy to go to Milwaukee and to imagine being a part of a family of 23.
Yeah. Yeah, I did think that he was from – I remember calling on night one that he would probably get the hometown because of the that they were talking about the family so early and like, oh, they're going to want to – but I wasn't thinking like, oh, because they have a huge connection, but just like, oh, he'll probably make it so that we can see all the – siblings that he took care of and that little sweet story or whatever. But he did get that first, Nick got the first impression rose. But yeah, Milwaukee, I think she said it at least 10 times.
Milwaukee.
Right. Yep.
And then I have one, my last one is from at Mel Got Served, and she said, "That awkward silence when no one knows how to address the man wearing a scarf in the room."
Or the men, plural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scarf city.
Yeah. Definitely. And Andy's all about the scarves, too. So maybe that's what...
Maybe they're all sharing outfits.
Yeah, maybe they're like, wait, they're trying
exchanging
to mirror
her. Turtlenecks. Yeah. Have one big scarf pool.
She likes scarves, so I'm going to start wearing these.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, I don't have any more.
No, I don't either. So follow all these people on Twitter for live tweeting The Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, follow us. You can find me on Twitter at @hstrong_. Yep. And you can find Amy at @RHAP Recapper.
Mm-hmm. You gonna do a blog this week?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool.
And then the rest of my blogs are up at Haley, H-A-L-E-Y, HaleyStrong.wordpress.com.
Nice.
Yeah, and there's some pictures up on there of my aforementioned Cincinnati trip, if that's something you're into. Or, you know, you can just stick to the Bachelorette blogs. Whatever whatever floats your boat. Just go so I can get the site hits.
Nice. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Ta-ta, tulips.